This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Sunday afternoon here in New Providence, Bahamas. This is Garth Minard Roseboro with your new program, Remark. This is a program that addresses the socioeconomic issues of our society, anything socio-religious, that which affects you, affects your family, affects your community. We're trying to put our nation on a good footing here. This is the talk show of talk shows here on a Sunday. You've just listened to Quincy Parker and Scotch and Whiskey, and I'm going to be followed by Lady T. But until then, this is Remark here on 96.9 FM here in the Bahamas. And we're getting ready to go, but you know, I want you all to be careful today. For those people who want to reach out to me personally on my phone, my telephone was hacked this morning. It was hacked. My WhatsApp is gone. My 807-1969 number is gone. And we're going to have to find a new way to rekindle our telephone relationship. But if you want to call in today and have a conversation with me, you can call in today at 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259. My favorite call-in number is the toll-free number from any of the Family Islands, 242-300-5720, or simply text if you're a shy person at 242-422-4796. And the reason why I put 242 in the front of all those numbers is because even though we're all here in the Bahamas and we're all tuning our radios in, turning your sports games down and tuning into 96.9 FM, there are people all over the world that are listening in, so I have to give a special shout-out today to my family and friends in Winston-Salem, North Carolina, all the Roseboros, the Harrises, and the Whites. Just want to welcome you to the show. My Aunt Bertha told me she was listening in last week, and I got a sister over there. She's tuning in today. So when you talk about the Roseboros and Winston-Salem, every time you mention the name Bradman or Roseboro, those are the potcakes of Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Those are my people. For those other people in Canada, in Atlanta, Georgia, Dominican Republic, around the world, thank you for tuning in. Once again, this is Remark, and I have some very special, but I say special, I have some of the greatest men of our nation. Do you believe that? In one studio today. I have some of the greatest men in the Bahamas. When they said lights, camera, action, well, for me, the greatest of lights in our country is one man by the name of Leslie Potcake Miller. Now, he is the light. I'm going to call him the light today. He's the light. He's going to shine on the darkness of divorce today. But he is an astute politician, a great business mind. He is a man of men. He stands shoulders above many. I welcome him to the show. And then the cameraman, as you all know, is Charles Photo Sawyer. I call him Photo Sawyer. You know, when you talk about photos in the Bahamas, you got to talk about Sawyer's studio. And so he holds his own in his own right. Located right there on Carmichael Road. He's joined me once again because, you know, he's a family man. He likes to talk about family issues. He's not perfect. None of us are perfect. We all have our situations, but he is a man of God, and I had to bring him into here. He's also a justice of the peace, and so that's why he's here today. And then the last but not least is one that was insisted on being here, Mr. Renwick Action. See, talk about lights, camera, action. Action, roll. Now, many of you know him from 242. The sports, the jet skis and the parasailing, and he's also the former host for Joker's Wild on Paradise Island at the Atlantis Hotel. So he's not a shy individual. And so this is why these men are here today, because we want to talk about a very fearsome, sometimes overlooked, but it's not a very pleasant word to some, but for other people, it's absolutely fantastic. And that word is divorce. This is a family-natured show, social-based show. And so today I'm going to let each of these men make their own introductions, but I'm excited to have them here. I've got some insistence from my great producer. He's also here, Wally, John Lee Ferguson. And he insists that, my friend Leslie Miller is coming in here. You got to talk just a little bit of politics. Let Leslie talk about a little bit of politics. I said, man, you're going to get me killed. He said, no, we can talk a little politics today. So listen, I'm not going to chain down Mr. Leslie Miller. That's my big brother. I've always respected him. He's come to my show. He was busy today worshiping the Lord. He is full of holiness and graciousness and loving kindness. When we talk about the fruits of the Spirit, he's here. And so today, we're going to have a good time. Let's just take a quick break if we could, and then we'll introduce the guest here. This is Remark. God's Maynard Rose for here. We'll be right back. Okay, so we took a little break, a little fresh air. I told you divorce is a very uneasy subject because while we were off just temporarily, we had to pull up our belts and button up our shirts and get comfortable as we discuss this matter. I'm going to start with my good friend Action. Let's start. The last will be first and the first will be last. Action, well, tell us a little bit about yourself and what's your expertise in this divorce area, if you have any.
Okay, my name is Renrick Roll, a.k.a. Action. Most people know me from the water sports industry. I was married for 35 years. My wife and I, we went for dinner twice a week. She used to go on Monday, used to go on Tuesdays. So we had a distant relationship, you know. Now that we are here to discuss divorce, which is a serious subject, I've been divorced now about three years, and also remarried.
Also remarried?
Yes, sir.
And so you're smiling somewhat, or you're smiling all the way, or your wife is listening now, is that it?
Yeah, I am smiling. She is listening. She's
So you can't say nothing wrong?
I try not to. Nothing to incriminate me.
Okay, then. Charles Sawyer, what you got for us today?
Well, good to be here. Hello to the Bahamas. Divorce is such a topic that when you're speaking spiritually, it's a no-no in certain quarters. But, you know, when the Lord saw fit, he gave Moses the right to have a divorce done. We in the church kind of look at it from different views nowadays. Some look at it, you can be divorced and you come back and you be a pastor or whatever. Some churches, once you divorce, you can't even get remarried unless the person dies. But life happens. Sometimes you grow apart. And so why should you be tied down if you're growing apart and you can't even see eye to eye with each other? So that is one of the things that I look at. If you just can't see eye to eye, why be together and be miserable?
So then, Mr. Leslie Miller, as we build this nation, his expertise is politics. We admire him. We adore the work that he has done, especially in the Blue Hills constituency. He has met many a family, I am sure. I am certain of this. How can we build a stronger nation, Mr. Leslie Miller, if we have broken homes in our country?
One of the greatest problems we have in the Bahamas, good afternoon, Bahamians everywhere, is the fact that 60-70% of the Bahamians are born out of wedlock.
How many percent?
At least 60-70%.
Born out of wedlock.
Yeah, I would surprise you know how many children today, if I take you through some communities, couldn't tell you who their daddy is. One man I met, 52 years old, a friend of mine I grew up with from Chumacola Corner, started talking to me inside. He still don't know who his daddy is. It's a very serious problem. Divorce is a very, in my opinion, very private and situation that most people don't want to talk about. But it's a reality in life. But you know, it's a serious situation. I think the situation with neglected fathers is more greater than the divorce, because most of them never married. When you talk about 6% of the population that has never had a wife or husband, that's something that I think we need to talk about on a national level.
This is where we're heading in this conversation.
Well, that's where we've been for the last 100 years. It's very serious.
It's very serious. It's a scary topic for many. For some people, when I came into the studio, one member here on the panel said to me, divorce is a thing that could also be celebratory. You know, you play some good music and you dance. You actually can throw a party for a divorce if you're married to the wrong person. But I'm looking at divorce in this light because this is a men's conversation today. Next week, Sunday, we're going to have a legal mind, Ms. Little Smith Mackey. We're going to have Brittany in here along with Shelley V. And they're going to be in here to give us a female perspective. So we're not going to have a lopsided conversation. But we wanted the panelists to feel comfortable as men, not having a woman interrupt the conversation as to how we think. We want to be a bit focused here. And then we'll allow the women next week to have their say. And so you can call in on this conversation if you've been divorced, if you're about to be divorced, if you're thinking about divorcing, or if you're talking to the Almighty God and saying, I never want to get married because of the stories I've heard about divorce. You can call in today. I want to give you those numbers one last time before we really heat this conversation up. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or 300-5720. You can text us at 422-4796. So one thing that bothers me about divorce, gentlemen, and we can talk about this. A man meets a woman. It can cost you, what, anywhere from $50 to $50,000 to get married in the Bahamas. I've actually heard of someone who has actually paid $50,000 for a one-day event to get married to this woman.
$50,000.
I mean, that's a joke. He can tell us another story in a minute. But then you look at it, and in a few months, it wasn't even a year, in a few months, they were divorced. Now, from other people who go to a justice of the peace, Mr. Sawyer, how much is the cost for a marriage with a justice of the peace as you know it?
Well, the justice of the peace can't marry you. You got to be a licensed
marriage officer. Okay.
Which I am also. But the license costs you $100.
$100 to?
To get hitched.
To get hitched.
And it costs you anywhere from $10,000 to your life to get out.
To get divorced. See, this is the conversation.
Sound a little rugged to me, you know.
This is the conversation I want out today.
You're on the fringe of this one.
But the minute they can stay on the fringe, he want to talk about other people's marriage. He ain't getting too deep into this one.
Yeah,
but,
well, I mean.
But this is where we need to talk because we're talking about families now, and it's families that make up the nation. So you got the PLP people where one, the wife is PLP, the husband is F&M. Or the husband is F&M, the wife is PLP, the children split down the middle. So on election day, one wearing yellow shirt, one wearing red shirt, and everybody mad for the whole week. You got these situations. We got to talk about this because is this nonsensical or is this just a sensible situation? Everyone has a right to democracy. But then you meet this woman. And I want you women to fuss me out if you want to, but you meet this woman. When you meet this woman, if you's PLP, she's PLP. If you's F&M, she's F&M. Let's make that straight. When you get married, you find out she ain't what you thought she was. Because the day she got married, then you find out some other things too. Before you got married, she used to wash the dishes. Before you get married, she used to cook the food. Before she get married, she used to wash the clothes. Before she get married, she used to call you sir. Huh? Am I in unfamiliar territory here, or am I talking sense?
You're correct.
Huh? Before you get married, you know, she's the most gracious individual. She wants to impress you. You could take your hand and run it through her hair. Huh? You could take her hand and rub the nails if you want to and rub the toes. But after you got married, don't touch my hair. Don't touch my nails. Don't touch my feet. Don't touch. And then I got a report from somebody else that said that the husband's money is our money, but the woman's money is her money. And then you have the other situations where the children are more closer to the wife than the husband is. So from a male perspective, does a man now feel robbed the minute he says, I do? Is this a common practice? Can we say that, or is this something uncommon that I'm speaking about?
Well, I like to say, thank God I got married when I got married, because it's $100 now, you say, Mr. Sawyer, to get married? When I got married, it was $5.
It was $5?
$5, yeah.
It was the best $5 you ever spent?
Yeah, back then. Yeah,
yeah, because you wanted what you wanted.
Right.
So when a young man sees a woman, what does he really want? What do you say are some of the common reasons why young men would want to get married?
I think it's a matter of fact of them wanting to get married. I think the first thing they look at a woman, they look at her from head to toe.
You look from head to toe?
Right.
So tell us about the head to toe. What are we looking for in the Bahamas?
Well, the man really want to just start a relationship. And, you know, men think, like somebody said, with two heads.
With two heads?
Yeah. I mean, with one head, not two. They have two heads, but they think with one head. So I think that's where it all starts. And then it leads into marriage.
But why get married? If you think with one head, how does the one head think about marriage?
Well, see, you have to start a relationship with a woman, first of all. And then, you know, it goes from there. Then you get to do other things and you maybe start dating each other.
You can't run around the corner on me.
No, you can't.
You say you want to start a relationship. Right. I need to know why you want to start a relationship and then why you consider it marriage.
Well, I mean, first of all, you may be somebody that is lonely.
Oh, you're lonely?
Yeah.
So you was lonely when you paid the $5?
No, I just grew up in the church.
Uh-huh.
And the saying back then was better to marry than to burn.
So you listen to the church?
Yeah.
And you still end up burning?
There you go.
And how many years you were married for?
I was married for 35, according to me, but my wife told me it was 33. See, in a relationship, right? What we don't understand is when a woman falls in love with you, you'll be the last to know. And when a woman is tired of you, you'll be the last to know.
You serious?
Yeah, I'm serious, yeah. Because when they make up their minds and they say, well, this relationship is over, I'm leaving this guy, we're just roommates. You say, we sleep in the same bed, you know, we talk to each other every now and then, more than and what now. And then mentally, she's already left you, but you don't know. You see, and then, like, when you realize, see signs, then you say, hey, you know what? This relationship ain't making any sense.
So you're just slow.
Yeah.
You're the slow one.
Men are slow.
Men are slow or you slow?
No, men are slow.
Because what I'm saying to you is that you meet this woman, and you saw something that you like. That's what I'm hearing you saying to me.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
You saw something that you like. And don't mind Mr. Mill over there, you know, poise and position. He just come from church. He ain't going to talk too much of this type of stuff. But he could tell you when men see a woman. He has sons, so he knows. When a man sees a woman, he's looking for certain attributes.
Right.
So the hair got to be right. The complexion got to be right. The breasts got to be right. The hips got to be right. The walk got to be right. And you're looking at her associations with her family or with her work or how she carries herself in public. There's a determination between seeing her and saying, I want her. Want her meaning that I want to lock her down. So when does a man know that he wants to lock this particular woman down? Because last time I checked, there's 7 women to 1 man, which means that somehow God Almighty must know
in the Bahamas
that you can make at least 6 mistakes before you find the right one sometime.
You said 7 women to 1 man in the Bahamas?
Well, that's what it says.
That's not true.
How much women to 1 man?
At the most, 3 to 1. At the most, more like 2 to 1.
Explain 3 to 1.
If that.
Explain 3 to 1.
No, because when you look at the birth rate in the Bahamas, it's almost equal, boys and girls who come into this world. It's not as great as what people believe. It's the variety of men that attracts women towards them. Give an example. You go to school, you go to R.M. Bailey, any of the government schools. What normally happens when school graduate? If you have 60 young ladies, you may have 40 young men. Many of those young ladies would wish to go on to UB or higher earning to set a future for themselves. Half of the young fellas, maybe more, are to go into other areas in life. First, they want a fast car. They want to go there, depending on who they jack with, if they're in the gang or anything else. Then they end up in trouble. But I think the operative word that you all haven't used is love.
Love?
Yeah, you have to love someone to think about marrying them. Eh? I mean, that's the first thing is
love. You think so?
You got to love someone. Yeah, you be with someone, but you got to fall in love with them.
You think so?
And they become a part of you, an integral part of you.
Love has something to do with this.
Love has everything to do with it.
You think people actually fall in love before they get married?
At first sight.
Yes.
I've seen cases where people fall in love and try to get divorced in 2 months to get half of everything else.
But they were never in love. They were in like.
So you don't have to be in love to get married.
They were in like. Not in this day and time. Huh?
Not in this day and
time. And so you're looking into what
the
man...
God, I don't live in this day and time.
So the men who die in motorcycles, the men who turn to alternative lifestyles, mm-hmm. the men who are incarcerated, the men who don't want women, who are sitting under the tree and just smoking all day long.
Yes.
How many women are left without having a man in this country?
But that's what I'm... If you look at it from that... That's why I said perspective is what is desire of a young woman who is trying to get some man life, who realizes that she wants to build a family. And remember, most of these people you're talking about are people with one parent in the home. Like I said, 60% of the children in this country are born without marriage, without a parent, two parents in the household. That's a very serious problem that we have in this country that we got to face up. That's why we got all the crime and the young kids. You got to go and talk to these children and see what I'm talking about. When you meet a young lady, she's 35 years old. You go to her and she has three children for three different men. And the fellas are on the same blocks. And you ask the little girl, what's your daddy's name? I don't know, Mr. Miller. You ask the little boy, what's your daddy's name? He give you a name. You ask the other one, they may give you a name. And then the mother say, well, John is her daddy. So obviously the pot cake could go and approach John. Say, my brother, what's the score, man? Why you don't want your little son? And you talk to him. Sometimes they get angry. Sometimes they be very graceful with it. Say, you know, I wasn't the only fella there, so I ain't taking no responsibility. I said, why don't you take the DNA, the test? Hey, it's not going to do it. But you have a lot of kids around here who are suffering like hell and who has neglected fathers that never took care of none of their children in their life. The only time they take care of them or try to own them up, when the kid becomes something, some athletic star or someone good in school that's doing well, then you go and make a claim to them. But we have a very serious problem that all of us, as men and women in this country, need to take a serious look at with getting these men to live up to being a man.
So what I'm hearing you saying is that you have these men who have never been married and who are neglecting their children. Now,
yes, children.
Now, listen to this. Here are these young men who are looking at married men. And I know I've hung some places where married men, like bars, and on the streets playing dominoes, and you listen to their stories as a young man.
Yes.
And the horror stories that they tell you about their marriage. Why would these young men want to ever consider getting married? There's a fair factor that exists in this country.
I don't think you hear a whole lot of that with men describing to their friends intimate relationship with their spouse or someone that they care for or their girlfriend or their better half, using that sort of subject matter with other people around. I think it's a very private situation. You know, if you have a problem with someone who you're with, why would you go and want to tell that to your boys and have fellas around? I don't think that's true at all.
Well, the fellas talk to other fellas, and the women want you to go to see a counselor or go see their pastor.
Yes.
They still want to include someone else. You're crying out for help.
But if you got a very special, good friend that you know you can trust and who can trust you, fine. But I don't think that's a norm that you go on the blocks and that's what fellas are talking about. And at least not from my experience over the last 50 years of my life, or maybe longer. I haven't experienced that.
You haven't experienced that?
And I'm always around them fellas on the blocks. Every weekend I'm around them.
Charlie, what would you do before we go to break?
Well, the thing about it is it's a mix. And when you get back, you got to go into the mix because we have both sides. We even have those who are born, grew up with both parents in the home, who go on contrary, as well as those ones who were born with just one parent around.
So it's still wrong.
Yeah. So it's a toss-up. And so you got to dig into what the core of the matter is.
Exactly.
We don't really get to the core of our problems. And that's why we are in the situation we're in. Because until you get to the core and not treat the symptoms, but treat the actual problem, then we are at a standstill.
How did it emanate?
Let's continue right after this break.
Drop them keys, hurry up before your taxi leaves, standing in the front yard. Bring your masterpiece to life. We stand by our quality products that is second to none. Our affordable pricing and friendly, efficient staff makes Printmasters the ultimate choice for all your printing needs. We can deliver any type of printing services, from banners to booklets to business cards. You name it, we can print it.
Let Printmasters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing these knives to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Well, he fooled with Joe girl.
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't back down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. We gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So out of the way.
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crack Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then you can get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you said.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, quality.
We were good, we were gold, kind of dream that can't be sold. We were right till we weren't, built a home and watched it burn. I didn't want to leave you, I didn't want to lie. Started to cry, but then remembered I can buy myself flowers, write my name in the sand.
Boy, I tell you, 96.9 FM Bahamas, this is where it's at. I got Wally behind the board, and we are over here having a great time having a conversation about divorce, ugly or beautiful. And if you have had an experience with this D word, we call it the D word. Some people think it's a demon, some think it's a delight. But the D word, I'm going to give you the numbers one more time. I need to hear from you. 323-6232, 325-4316, 325-4259, or 242-300-5720, or send me a text, 422-4796. This conversation has to be a very uneasy conversation. I've spent a lot of time with my big brother, Mr. Leslie Miller, on another program on national television. I've never seen him this subdued. Maybe I need to join him in church next week, Sunday, and get some of that. That whatever that is that you have in that church to keep you calm. But it's always great to see him, and I also have a Remick Action role. He's also here in the studio with me. And none other than Charles Sawyer. He's also sitting to my right. Here's what the observation really is. When you are dating this woman, you're bringing her flowers. You're taking her to the movies. You're taking her out for dinner. And one of the more exciting things is when you're not married, you want to sneak away and rent a little hotel room and do your little do behind closed doors. And you're even as brazen enough to go sit in church the following morning like you just saw Jesus and praise the Lord. This is culture. This is where we're at. And then everyone says, you know what? Y'all two look so good together. We like y'all two together. I think y'all can make some pretty children. And all the good, positive talk. Next thing you know, back in the day, Mr. Miller, I think you had to write a letter, eh? You write a letter to the daddy or whatever.
Before my time.
That's before you're that old, eh?
Before my time.
But you ask permission to marry this young lady, this daughter, and you're planning this wedding, and then you get married, and then you find out some things. You find out, number one, that all this money this fellow had been spending, he ain't really got it. He was borrowing money from his daddy or borrowing money from his friend. You find out the car he was driving may not even been his own. If it had been his daddy or his mommy or now, y'all ain't got no car. You got to find a car. You find out now you got to pay rent. That's $650, $700, $800, $900 a month. And like we said, the woman money is her money. His money is supposed to take care because a man is supposed to provide, he's supposed to protect, and he's supposed to procreate. Those are the three things that a man is supposed to do. What the woman is supposed to do, well, she is supposed to nurture. She's the one that enhances. She's the one that empowers. She's the one that gives strength to the relationship. So when you have this particular type balance, when one person stops protecting, like I met one young man, when the frog in the house, he out the door first. He tell the woman, you better move that frog. You know, so he ain't protecting nothing. You know, when you find out that your procreator really ain't into you, he procreating other places. You know, you start to eat little peas and rice and macaroni and coleslaw. Your belly start to get a little big. And so he ain't into you no more because he likes slim women. So he go out there and he play the field. This is what happens in our country. And so in terms of the provision, there are not many people that I know of where all the money actually reaches home to the wife or vice versa. Money escapes left and right. And so these are issues in a relationship. As for the woman, the nurturing, caring, pampering, when you can lay in her lap and she boys your bumps. Remember the boys your bump thing? You like them boys your bump and comb your hair and give you a little massage and stuff. That stopped because she tired. And so now you begin to distance away from each other. And now what do we do next? Do you go to counseling? Mr. Sawyer, have you ever had a situation where people just had to go to counseling to try to correct some of these things? And does counseling really work?
It depends, you know, because both parties have to want the counseling to work, in order for it to work. I know situations where it was said, okay, let's go to counseling. So we choose which counselor we go to. And then one party says, it's not going to be good because this person going to take up for you because they know you, right? And then he says, okay, choose someone else. Or this person knows you too, so he can take up for you. So, okay, let's go. Let's be neutral. Find someone who nobody knows. Go there for counseling. And depend on what the counselor says. One party is always going to say, oh, he's talking on your side, but he's right. You shouldn't be doing this. So it takes several situations now for you to come to agree that we have to get to make this move to make this work. Because the counselor could say this, and the counselor could say that. If we don't agree with what the counselor says, we're still at an impasse.
So here's one of the biggest things you could counsel about in a relationship, right? I just can say it bluntly. When a young man sees a woman to be a wife, he is looking for sex at least two to three times a week in its initial stages. When you get older, it may only be one time he's looking for. But at least two to three times a week, because he will hold, we said about him, he will hold his woman. He wants to notice his woman, this is things. He, like they said back in the day, you buy your cow, you want your milk. So when a woman stops giving out what they call, in quote, the milk, and a man becomes frustrated, what could counseling do about that?
Counseling could do nothing other than encourage you to go back to where you started. Okay, because like was said earlier, we can't tend to grow apart because we stop doing the things that brought us together in the first place. See, now, in any situation, in a relationship, even a relationship with God, if you don't keep company with God, how in the world do you expect to have a relationship? So you have to be able to be in each other's company and be not just in company, but you have some quality time where you get into each other and learn. See, because you don't ever learn each other just by being together for 2 months, 3 months, even 2 years. You could go for 10 and 15 years and don't know some things about the other person. So you have to now consistently be with each other and talk to each other and find out all the ins and outs about each other, because there are some things that just stay covered for a long time.
So people hold secrets before they get married.
People hold secrets for sometimes 20, 30 years.
To get to the grave.
And at the end of the 30 years, you just decide that, you know what, the thing away. After all that investment, all that time.
Because now the secret comes out, and now you're not prepared to deal with the secret. So now I got to get the hell out of here, because this secret is not... See, now if I'd known this beforehand, I might have learned how to deal with it. But at this point, I can't deal with that.
So let me take this quick telephone call. Go ahead, caller. Telephone caller? Hello, caller, you there?
Yes, good afternoon, God, and good afternoon to your guests.
Good afternoon.
Interesting topic today, God, divorce. But what I was going to say is that it would be good to God if you could have a show on adultery, you know, seeing that that is one of the things that leads to divorce. You know, kind of, you should talk about the things that leads to divorce. And I think adultery is like one of the only grounds that you could have for divorce, right? But the thing about it is that in our society, like, adultery is something that is like a part of our culture. Sweethearting is a part of our culture, you know, and unless we begin to check that, and unless we begin to speak against that, unless we begin to put things in place to discourage that type of action, to make it something that an individual should be ashamed of, you know, in a kind of way, because someone in the studio was talking about solutions, you know, in a kind of way. I mean, you have nations in the world where they penalize people for adultery. And if adultery is something that leads to divorce, then it should not be a practice that you should be freely to do in society. You know what I mean? It should be something that should have some type of consequence, because it threatens the institution of marriage, right? And real men don't commit adultery. Real men don't lie. Real men don't cheat. You understand where I'm coming from? And how much money you have in your pocket don't make you a realer man than the next man. You understand where I'm coming from? Because we like I said before, we need to start to try and shape and form a different type of understanding in the youths. If we don't do that, we're going to be doomed. All right? But like I say, we should, like I said before, look at the things that leads to adultery. You know, that kind of way. Let us try to create a society where we look at relationship differently, where we look at intercourse and sexual relationship differently, but where we begin to see those things on a higher level, on a more sacred level, as opposed to something just to pass the time. You know, that kind of way. But like I said, it's a good show, God, and one of these days you should do a show on adultery. And if we are serious about these type things, then as a nation, let us put in place laws that discourage people from doing these type things. If not, you need to talk about it forever.
Okay. Well, I appreciate your call, my friend. You know, I spoke to someone, Randbeck, and I see you there. I spoke to a pastor yesterday afternoon, not going to call his name, and he said that he made an oath to God, he swore to God, that he would never, ever, ever cheat on his wife. He would never, ever, ever commit adultery. He said it came to a point where his wife did not have relations with him for 3 years. She just stopped. Zero, nothing. And he said that without even thinking about his oath, his body took control of him like a demon within that we spoke about some 2 weeks ago. And he went to town. And in that one quick moment, that produced a seed. And he said, after he got wind of himself, he said, you know what, let me go and tell my wife what I did, because I didn't intend to do it, but it just, my body took over. He said, then a rushing wind came through his house and reminded him that the oath he made is that if he cheated on his wife, he would want his life to be taken. What you gonna do? And he had to scream, oh God, have mercy on me, like King David in the Psalm. Now, the woman has stopped doing her due. You are a vibrant man. Everything inside you is working. You don't need no pills. You don't need no donkey juice. You don't need none of these things. You just want ride the pony. And the woman stopped. How fair is that, Remick Rowe?
Well, it's not fair. Only situation whereby if a woman cannot participate because she has physical problems when it comes to sex, I think that maybe should be the only reason, that you don't give up the cookie, we would say. You know, because sometimes it's just hard. We are men, and this is how we get off,
Are you barbaric men or are you just gentlemen?
No, we're gentlemen.
Sure you're gentle? Like, when you go and ride the pony, are you gentle or are you just barbaric? Because some women don't like that barbaric thing.
Sometimes the pony rides me. But what I'm saying, right, you're speaking about the pastors, but I'm going to say something that is controversial here today. The pastors out there, some of them, most of them are the cause of divorce. Pastors and police.
What? Why?
Pastors and police. The reason I said that.
You ain't scared to say that?
No, I'm not afraid to say that. You know why? Because when marriage relationships, if you go for counseling and you tell the pastor everything, right? We are men. So what we can do is sometimes we prey on the women's weakness. You know, when a woman should be home cooking her husband food, she in church. You know, the husband home, you coming from church 12 o'clock in the night.
So she won't know why you ain't cooking.
No, but I'm saying, you tell me you going to church. So The pastor should say, hey, I can't let this woman be here all this time and she have a family. So sometimes the pastors need to send the woman home. And then that's how come relationships start between them and the pastors. The next thing, like I said, the police. When you go to the police, if you're having a domestic problem, not all police now. You all don't lock me up after the show, okay? You have a domestic problem.
And you scared of the police?
No, I'm not afraid of the police. The police are my friend. When you go to some police station and you say, okay, sir, I'm having a problem with my wife or something like that. A lot of women say, my husband is beating me and this and that. You say, okay, I'll take this case. And then eventually, she call him back. You hear anything from my husband or blah, blah, blah. No, I don't know anything. And then that's how come relationships start.
You've known of cases like this?
Yeah, I know plenty of cases like this where relationships start between the police who was on the case. He really become on the case. And then,
so when a woman cries out to other men, it's a potential that other men can take prey of that particular woman. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, because men...
Okay. Let me take this other call quickly. Go ahead, caller.
Good afternoon. I'm a first-time caller. Congratulations to you.
Thank you, my dear. Burrow. Thank you. Thank you, my dear. Oh, Lord. The rose amongst the thorns.
I had two questions, but it seemed as if you guys answered it in terms of the role of that is expected of a woman when she gets married. And the other, I want to point out, that's also an issue in our society is materialism and materialistic persons. Apparently, the girls are being trained sometimes by the parents to expect money from the man. And once he refuses or he is unable to do so, there's a breakdown in that relationship. So could y'all please address that for me? I'll hang up.
Mrs. Miller, you want to take that one, or?
I don't know. I mean, she's saying, I think you all need to appreciate the fact that, first of all, a woman's body belongs to her, eh? And you can't just believe that you have the right to do to your wife as you please, or your better half. Doesn't matter if it's a wife or not. They are individual women. God made them the same as he made us. They have the same rights as us in society. And these things has to be talked about and discussed. And I don't think we should be even talking about women in some of the issues that we're talking about. You know, a fellow want to ride all night and all this other foolishness. I mean, this is a woman who you love and who you decide to marry, who's going to bear your children together. You also got to show respect for the children who are in the marriage. Or who's there. I just think as far as the money factors the lady indicated just now, I suppose that happened in some of these relationships where the person go into it looking for financial gain or financial favors. I wouldn't say that's the norm, but it's out there like anything else in this life. You do whatever it takes to get whatever it is you wished attaining his life, I guess. That's part of it. I don't think it's the norm with most relationships. Most relationships, I believe, are wholesome relationships where two people fall in love with each other. They respect each other. They would wish to build a future with each other, have children that can make a contribution not only to themselves, but by extension to their country. I just think the whole focus need to shift on the family structure, because a country cannot survive without good and effective family structures. And it cannot survive with children feeling neglected from youth and going through life almost by themselves with not both parents to turn to, especially the father figure that is so important in the household to be around, even if you're not married. But your son or daughter know who you are, what you are. You spend quality time with them. And you bring them up because the kids in marriage are no different from the kids outside of marriage. It's what you train them to be and how they would wish to make a life of their own. I just think we need to focus on first of all, the woman and the man being equal, totally equal in every sense of the word. You have no, you shouldn't even have the gumption to believe that you have the right because you're married. When I go home, this is what I can do to my wife. That she has to be responsible too. It's her body. And it depends on how she feels, what kind of day she had at work. Where does she want to have what you want her to do anytime you want it? I just think we need to show more respect for the females because they are equal.
I am listening to you, Mr. Miller. You want to respond to that?
Yeah. What I was saying is, I don't know when last Mr. Miller been in the Dayton streets, but I understand those streets are dangerous out there, man, when it comes to, like, the caller calling just now talking about, you know, women today, the young people say they tanksy. They like tanks.
Well, let's continue on that.
Trust
right after
me,
this break. We're going to hit that. See, Mr. Miller laughing. Yeah. We're going to talk about this right after the break.
He's been on the dating scene for a while, so he wouldn't know.
Thank you. that variety is the spice of life. With the introduction of new brands and the arrival of a wider assortment of quality products, even the pickiest of shoppers will want to celebrate. With more variety, you will find everything you need and want when you shop. So join the party today. Shop Solomon's for a wide variety of quality items right at your fingertips.
You are invited to the 6th Caribbean Baseball Cup at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium, October 23rd through 28th, 2024. Bringing the action will be the national teams from Cuba, Curacao, Dominican Republic, U.S. Virgin Islands, St. Martin, and Tame Bahamas. There will be three games daily from October 23rd to 27th, and the championship gold and bronze games on October 28th. Don't you miss it! The 6th Caribbean Baseball Cup at the Andre Rogers Baseball Stadium. Save the date, set your alerts, and be there!
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day.
If you want it, take it. I should have said it before. Try to hide it, fake it. I can't pretend anymore.
Welcome back. This is Remark here on a Sunday here at 96.9 FM here in the Bahamas. And we're just sitting here in the studio having a good chat. Just the guys. This is what we do. Mr. Miller says he doesn't often get into these types of conversations. But
I try not to.
But, you know, it is one of those conversations that I do believe is basically at the baseline of our society. It's something that we seldom want to speak about publicly. We want to hold our views within our heart. But the nation continues to go, as I see it, nowhere fast. We just have a whole lot of issues in the homes. One point that was made on the break while you were absent, you the listeners, I wish you had a microphone to listen in, but the truth really is that many people are just simply fascinated by the idea of marriage. You want that marriage to take place. When you see a young lady, she is a prize. She is something that is attractive. She is someone that you want to be with. You begin to fantasize and you begin to see yourself in her presence, that she is the one that you can make impossibilities possible. Let's just rest it right there. When you look at the Bible, for those people who believe in faith of Christianity, you look at Proverbs 31. There's that woman there, the woman of virtue, the virtuous woman. You know, she makes her household proud. She makes her husband able to sit in the gates and boast about how good of a wife that she is. The flip side of this is that I'm going to allow the ladies to have their say next week, and I hope you do. But the truth be told is that beyond the physical side of marriage, there's a whole lot of other responsibility. One texter says, good afternoon. This is a timely topic. What role do men expect from women in this day's society? Are we expecting a reverse role? Does she support him while he stays at home? And so as we look throughout our society today, more and more women are in the workplace. More and more women are getting up and going out and earning that money. And many men are finding challenges bringing in the bacon, as they call it. And so there you are, struggling to keep your household together. Is this a factor in a lot of situations of marriage where people consider divorce?
Well, I think, you know, it's called, a man is called a house husband.
That actually exists?
Yeah, when the women go, then they work and they let the man stay home and cook the food, clean the house, take care of the kids. That's called a house husband. To me, I don't think a man who's a productive man, who used to working and providing for his family, it's going to be hard to be a house husband. Like for me, I can't be a house husband.
You can't husband. Or you don't want to?
No, I can't be a house husband.
So if you can't be a house husband, what makes a woman capable of being a housewife?
I mean,
is she built differently than you? Is her mentality different than you? what do you see? Is there a difference between the male and female gender when it comes to these responsibilities?
No, I think it has something to do with the way you were brought up as a child.
So how
as
were
a
you?
Man, you know, they taught you as a young man to be responsible, to take care of your family. So now to reverse the world, like the texts say, it's not going to be easy.
It's not easy for you?
No, not for me. Personally, I don't know how many men out there that'll be easy for them, because you got a lot of lazy men out there, and they'll take a delight in taking advantage of a woman who could go in and hustle, and all they want to do is sit down all day, watch The Bold and the Beautiful, and then they watch different shows and stuff, and then when the woman come, like, if they know the woman getting off 4 o'clock, they can start cleaning 3:30. And you know, and then the woman, you know, she go then and it's gonna make a tee off, because she expect you when she comes home, the dinner is ready, the house is clean, the kids already bathed, and everything. So I mean, if you don't live up to that responsibility, then it's gonna be a problem.
So you've actually just categorized what you feel a wife should be. You're gonna keep her in that box, and she can actually do these things, but you yourself, if life had it that they put you in that same box, you would not be happy, you would not be comfortable as a man, and you begin to disintegrate in your relationship because you're not totally comfortable. That's what you're saying?
Yeah, because, I mean, that's what it's called, a lot of cause for divorce, too, because, I mean...
Misunderstanding.
If you as a man, you come home, too, like, she expect me, if I'm the house husband, to do these things. When a man comes home, he expect her to do these things. You come home after work, she still got curlers in her hair. You know, the house isn't clean. The food isn't cooked.
This is the thought of, you figure how many men in our country, percentage-wise, that think that way?
I think about 90%.
You think 90%?
90% of the men, yeah, who are married.
That's a bit high, isn't it?
And then that's one of the causes for divorce. I mean, that's the topic today, is divorce. So there's many different causes for divorce. You know, I mean, like you say, sex is one. That's mostly the basic topic. You know, relationship. People don't communicate with each other. Communication, too.
So far, listening to you, it's a female-caused issue, or is it a male-caused issue? Or is it just simply the secrets and the incompatibility you're talking about?
No, it's both of us. We have to be responsible. Men have to be responsible for the relationship as well as women. It's a 50-50.
As long as she stays in her box?
No, you can't put a woman in a box and a woman can't put a man in a box. You know, just things that is expected of you.
But you just had her in a box. I just want you to know that. You had her in a box. Mr. Right, Sawyer, go ahead.
Listen, you know, the thing about it is, a lot of us grew up single-parent homes. We were not taught the basics of marriage. We were not taught how marriage is sibling, because our parents didn't know, because they were not married, okay? And so where we are at is, how now do we learn how to perform in any marriage or any relationship per se? Because if you look deeply into society, we got a whole drayload of people who know nothing about marriage. They don't know nothing how to take care of no husband, take care of no wife. They absolutely lost.
So if the
family... Then on the back of that, we have these situations where these people say they're going to get married. And they go for counseling. And they get counseling and then say, oh, we're in love. So now, when you fall out of love, what happens? Oh, we're in love. No, because you do fall out of love. There's a morning coming when you don't want to see that fella on the side of you, or vice versa. So what happens then?
Who teaches about marriage?
Parents ought to teach about marriage, and then by extension, the church.
Right.
Okay, totally. But then the church now is taking these people and marrying them without digging deep down into why they want to get married and for what reason, right? How now will these two people mesh in a marriage? Okay, so now you have these people, they're getting married for whatever reasons, whether it's physical, financial, or whatever. They're not checking for real marriage, a relationship where we both put in, and as we put in, we get out. We have children come in, and the children see this same crowd going on, and so they learn from what they see. Children learn more from what they see than what they hear.
Right.
Okay, and so we have a generation who know nothing about marriage.
So,
because we're not teaching them.
But we have a nation full of churches. We have
a nation full of churches.
39 what? Constituencies in this country. Each of those constituencies have at least more than 5 to 10 churches. At least. And you're saying to me that young people who are desiring to follow this attractive institution called marriage are not properly trained for marriage. If the parents are not doing it and the church is not doing it, who now does it? Is it the politician? Is it social services? Who's going to be responsible for these two people getting together?
One of the problems we have is we have access to communication like nobody's business. So they're learning from the internet and social media, and they're learning all these things. And so now they are at an impasse. So all this information now, how do I now deal with this information that I'm getting? So they figure out, okay, I can try this, which may be way off course. But they can try it because that's what they learned. Okay, nobody with authority has been teaching them, this is how you act in a marriage. This is what you do in a marriage. This is the woman's role in a marriage. This is the man's role in a marriage. Nobody's teaching that. And so we have to go now to basics.
Sounds like a lot of work.
It is a lot of work because we have allowed it to go this far. Is that, and since it is this far, we have to go now to the root. And to get to the root, we got to pass all these different things that have caused it to get out of hand.
So what I'm hearing is I'm hearing that marriage in and of itself has many components. And these components would take intensive training and learning as to how you actually relate to your partner.
Yes.
Right? And
communication.
If that is not the homework of the day for a couple who's desiring to get married, we can look forward more than likely to a divorce. Right.
More than likely, because either a divorce or they in the situation, one going this way, one going that way, one sleeping this way, one sleeping that way, and it's never that come together. They simply stay in the house because of the children, which does not make too much sense because the children are saying, that didn't make no sense because I could see ain't nothing happening.
Right. So when I think about marriage, right, this is what I think about. I think that there are certain covenant building situations in a marriage. One of those covenants would be that of the dinner table. I would not put that full responsibility on a female, on a wife. So you're talking about your dinner table.
We don't even have a dinner table anymore.
Should the husband...
That's a thing of the process.
So the husband should know how to help set the table. He should know how to get the pots, the pans, use the skillet for frying. You use the pot for boiling food. He should know about joy and gain. And those are the things you use for dishwashing liquid.
A marriage should be a partnership.
A partnership.
Totally okay, agree. So we're both partners, so we know. Matter of fact, if one starts a conversation, the other one should be able to finish it. That's what you call partnership. Okay, now when you have this situation where this one talking something, this one is oblivious to what they're saying, what kind of partnership are you talking?
So where's the friendship in all of this?
That is exactly what I was getting at. If you're not friends, you're not going to get to that. There's some things that I will do to my brother that I will not do to my friends.
Isn't that amazing?
Because friendship is that is a very crucial part of life.
Yes.
The friendship.
But it's amazing to me when people have this divorce thing, right? When they break up. That person that they said that they loved before God and man, that they're the worst enemies in the world. I mean, they want to tear each other apart.
But
what's going on with that?
But you have another part of that. Because you have some people who they've been married and couldn't see eye to eye from hell. But when they divorced, they're the best of friends. Yeah.
You know how serious this is, Mr. Miller? This is so serious that people are so angry at each other who were supposed to be the best of friends that they're willing to spend $3,000, $4,000, $5,000, $6,000, $8,000, $10,000. That's how bad it is.
I think you are still forgetting the basic premise of a relationship between a man and a woman.
I'm listening.
And that premise is love, eh? You meet someone, you're attracted to them, you go on dates and what have you. You fall in love, you have the same...
ideals.
Things that you would wish to accomplish in life. You want to have a good life. You saw what happened to some of your family members and what have you, and your friends. You want to make a difference. You have to first have love. Love that is going to be there through thick and thin. Forget the marriage. You love someone you are there for them, they're there for you, through the good times and the bad times. Someone you can depend on. Someone who's going to understand you're not a perfect person, that you could be a real pain sometime. But they know that when push comes to shove, you're going to be there for them. And likewise, you would wish them to feel the same way about you. But that's how you build a relationship, build on the strength and respect, mutual respect that you have for each other. If I'm doing bad, and you with me, when I'm doing good.
I like that.
I can make sure... that whatever benefit I get, you're going to get. That's what life is about, giving and loving. I think we can't misuse the word love, or like ladies say, for a couple of dollars or you. That is not love. You know, love is when you really love someone, that they become a part of you, they become a part of your life. When you wake up in the morning, you think of them. It's like loving your children, okay? My children know I love them. I call them every morning. My grandchildren, I would call and speak to them. They know that daddy's prepared to die for any one of them. Die. And when you're in love with someone and they're in love with you, nothing should separate you all because of the love that you have for each other, because of the admiration you have for each other, because of what you conceive this person mean in your life. I think we need to get back to the basics. The basic tenet of life is love.
And I would want to agree with
That's
you.
That's all it is.
And I am agreeing with you in an ideal situation, but I would say this even for myself, that there are situations where one person can truly love and the other person simply does not.
That's true. That's very
and,
true.
And it's possible for the very, other person to pretend you. As if
yes,
they love.
Then you're being used.
Show every sign that they love.
Yes.
And then you end up in a relationship where you find out that you are not truly loved.
But you're going to find it out quick enough because situations are going to appear in your eye. When you see, hold on, this ain't. And once or twice it happened, then you know you're being played.
And you
get out of it. You're gone.
Sometimes they don't see that because of they're so much in love. They don't see that.
Love is blind.
Gotta be real. All
right. But it takes.
Gotta be real.
And then after a while, when they realize it, they're like, "I was that fool."
Yeah. Sometimes you're not stupid.
Yeah. Like Gino,
because you let your emotions overpower your senses.
But right. When you're stupid, what you're supposed to do?
And you find your sense sometime. You hit yourself upside your head. Yourself go to the door. Hit the hell out of your head. Say, listen, and then talk to one of your good friends. Say, my brother, what do you think? My friend can tell you. You got a job. Find your head. What did you tell you? Find your head. That's what fellas tell you.
Yeah.
Find your head.
Yeah,
like the best thing to have is a girlfriend who's a friend of yours that you love like a sister. Go and ask her what you should do. She'll make sense to you because she's a woman.
Mm-hmm.
Say, pot cake. Find your head.
I would tell you what Gino D say, you get swing.
Yeah.
Like Mr. Miller was saying earlier, you have to be in love. First of all, that's not always the case. You know, when two people meet, not all the time that you're in love, you know, you have to get to know each other.
You like each other.
Because I hear many women say, you know, I didn't like him when I first met him, you know, but I had to fall in love with him, you see? So it takes time.
They shouldn't have to do nothing, eh?
In order to
If they
got
to fall in love with you, you're in trouble.
There is another side to that, though.
That ain't love.
Well, there's another side to that.
What is
because
that?
Love is the one part.
Mm-hmm.
God asks women, or asks men, love your wives.
Right.
You ask women,
respect
your husband.
Right.
See, and a lot of women don't know how to respect a man.
Right.
And that's part of the problem we have in the society today, because they don't have respect for the man. And that is the crucial breakdown
that happens,
in any marriage.
You said respect.
You set them out right there.
Finish. You're done.
Whenever disrespect comes into a marriage, that's the worst. That's it. It's over.
Walk
you can stick a fork in it.
Walk away.
Gentlemen, before we get out of here today, time is wrapping down quickly, right? Statistically, one out of every two people that go to the altar end up in divorce. This is a statistic that I've known
There's no doubt
from
about.
I knew myself. That means that a pastor, reverend, bishop, or even a marriage officer standing there knows that every other person that he marries, there is a high chance that they're going to end up in divorce. A few weeks ago, I was here at the Guardian station here at 96.9 FM, and I was visited by a pastor, a very high-ranking minister in our nation, and I said to him, I want to have a conversation about marriage. You know what he said to me? He ain't want no part of that. He don't want no part of that. He said he don't even marry people. He don't put his name on no marriage certificate. Now, when it gets to the point where clergy is saying that,
he probably caused a lot of them to get that.
He may be one of the pastors talking about it.
Yeah.
The counselor,
you know. And we look at this because it's like you all said on the break, and Mr. Miller said on the break, when two people fall in love, and I'm talking about sacrificial love. Listening to Mr. Miller, I would say that if both individuals in the relationship love, it's impossible to just break away and get a divorce. It's impossible because it becomes sacrificial. It becomes symbiotic. But when you can see a relationship tearing apart, to me it simply says that one must have loved more than the other, or one didn't really love at all. Like Mr. Miller just said, stupidity. You know, you knock yourself aside and say, "My God, I got duped." Yeah. So in our nation, if one out of every two people are getting divorced,
that's the statistics now.
But that's later. But 50% or more get divorced. That's a statistic right now.
50%.
Yeah. So what I'm saying to you is that what I did when I was in seminary, I said if one out of two.
You've been in a seminary?
I've been in a seminary.
You know God was a pastor?
If one out of two. If one out of two.
You know what you're talking about.
I know. Wally, stop laughing.
He was one of
Wally, stop laughing.
He maybe was one of them night consulists.
No, I know night consulists. Don't put that on me. I'm a Rosemary, but don't put that on me. But listen, this is what I'm trying to figure. If one or two is going to get divorced, how many people sleep in separate bedrooms? How many people are staying together just for the children? How many people are staying just for financial reasons? How many people are staying just because of the way the society looks at them?
That's true. Yeah, I have a lot of that.
So about how much percent of people can we truly say love each other and are totally committed to each other till the end? This is a question that I've always had over the years because I don't see that number being at 50%.
No.
I see that number being dwindling. 20. Maybe even somewhere, like Mr. Soy said, 10%, no, maybe 20%.
Yeah, I'd say 20.
You know, but we can talk about this after the break before we get out of here.
Okay, cool.
We'll be right back.
You know I dream in color and do the things I want. You think you got the best of me, think you've had the last laugh, bet you think that everything good is gone. Think you left me broken down, think that I'll come running back. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Stand a little taller. Doesn't mean I'm lonely when I'm alone. What doesn't kill you makes a fighter. Footsteps even lighter. Doesn't mean I'm over, cause you're gone. What doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Loss of family members is very isolating, and people who have experienced loss appreciate when others have shared their grief. If you can't be there in person, go to the Nassau Guardian's website online at thenassauguardian.com and visit our obituary link. The Nassau Guardian's interactive obituary link allows you to read the funeral announcement, express condolences, or place photos on the online guestbook for one full year. Losing a loved one is painful, but that pain isn't the worst thing to happen. Friends, loved ones, colleagues, and neighbors who ignore the loss compound the pain. Should the bereaved family wish to place the obituary and photos on our obituary site, just contact the Guardian's funeral industry partners or the Nassau Guardian. Remember, there isn't one magic right thing to say to someone experiencing loss that will make the loss less painful or easier to bear. The Nassau Guardian's obituary link, available online at thenassauguardian.com.
Do you know you can get your business cards designed and printed for as low as 18 cents a card? If it's a poster you want, you can pay as little as $6 a square foot. If your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation, call the best. Call Print Masters. Print Masters' goal is to provide its clients with the highest level of personal, professional service at an affordable price. Our state-of-the-art technology also makes working together efficient and easy. Laminations, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized print services offered at Print Masters.
Let Print Masters bring your masterpiece to life.
Located in the Nassau Guardian Building, telephone 302-2361.
This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM.
Welcome back, welcome back. I just want to put a disclaimer out there that this topic, as much as I speak, as much as I mostly always have something to say, as we look around this table, we have Remick Roll, Action. We have Leslie Miller, the Potcake. We have Charles Sawyer, the photographer. And you have myself, the talker, right? This is not an easy conversation. Each of us have the ability to stand before thousands of people and make any pronouncement that is before us. But just speaking about just the idea of this D word makes you somewhat off balance. It just doesn't sit comfortably with any one of us. Maybe the women next week, Sunday at 5, will do a better job in explaining to us exactly what is really going on. We're going to have a lawyer here, Ms. Lilith Smith-Mackey. Hopefully she'll be here to tell us about the legal side of divorce. We're going to have a young university student from the University of the Bahamas, Brittany. She should be here. And then we have Shelley V coming back to us. She always has much to say. She's always on point. We look forward to having her next week as well. So you want to tune in. We're not being biased here. I know we men, we're a bit brash and we're a little harsh on the subject, and maybe we don't say things the right way. Forgive us. Just forgive us. We're trying. But we do understand that it takes two to make any relationship work. And it isn't always the woman's lack of involvement with the man physically. Many times it's the man who's lacking physically, not helping to wash the dishes, sweep the floor, mop the floor, take down the cobwebs, take the frog out the house. Stop running like anyhow. I'm not going to say that. You know, but do your part. I know when most men see a snake in the house, they're gone.
Yeah.
You know, you got to find one apartment or a hotel or something tonight, but we ain't staying in there, you know. But it is what it is. But gentlemen, take 2 minutes. Give me a closing remark and let the people hear from you on your final statement as to what you really think about the subject.
Well, to all you out there who are going through problems and thinking about divorce, it's a subject that you should talk it over with your partner. I mean, it's not an easy road because, I mean, like I say, you've been together so many years. Like I myself have been married for, like, I would say 33 years to the same woman. You know, it's what you make of it. But, I mean, sometimes, like they say, teeth and tongue clash, and, you know, you don't see eye to eye, so you just have to go your separate ways. But I wanted to let people out there know that in the divorce, it's a rough thing because, I mean, you go through different problems. You go to court, back and forth, and, you know, and it's not an easy road. So I'd like to encourage you as you go there to you know, be strong. You have to pray. You have to pray because, yeah, if you don't pray, buddy, it's hard on you. You know, it was kind of rough on me, but through the powers of the good Lord, your family, your friends, you know, you just discuss it with different people. And, you know, the good Lord will see you through. Okay. And I am, you know, happy to be here today. And I'm newly married, I like to say, to my new wife. I know she's listening. I'm going to say a shout out to her. She's a good person.
But I hope you help wash the dishes and do some of the household chores. Mr. Sawyer, go ahead.
Well, the point about it is, my thing has always been, from I was a youngster, the right way to do anything is through discussions first, then you got to start from the basics. My father always said, 1 + 1 = 2, and you have to start from there in whatever you do. Relationships that I've learned, well, you know, I didn't grow up in a home with both parents or anything, but I learned from, I'd read a lot and I watched certain people in the neighborhood. So I've learned some things. I believe I made a good husband because I was domesticated, as we call it. I wash, cook, iron, clean house, whatever. And so the thing about it is, it's a partnership, so we both share in all the duties that are there. When it comes to children, take care of the children, and you have your time when you, matter of fact, I did a lot of diaper changing and all that stuff with my kids. You know, I have 7 of those, and I was there for them. So it wasn't that I didn't know. I did what I was supposed to do that I felt I was supposed to do. And so I would continue to do what I got to do because they're mine, you understand? Whatever the case may be, they're my kids. They came from me.
And so they are my responsibility.
Thank you so much. Mr. Miller, you want to give us a message of love before we leave?
Give us 2 minutes. I think all of us as human beings should see a woman as an equal. Show love and you get love. Show respect and you get respect. And you hope for the best in any relationship, you know. I think most of Bahamian women are wonderful human beings. I'll tell you one thing, I've never been into election without them because they're very loyal. If you open up your headquarters and 10 men come to your headquarters to help you with election, on election, if you find 3, you're lucky. But the women, if 10 come on election day, 9 of them can be there with you.
Yes, sir.
So I always love Bahamian women. Never can let them down. You can always depend on the port cake to help you out.
If he come in here, boy, he really been defending, and that's all good. We got a text before we leave out of here. It says, evening. Those dating and looking for lasting relationships don't have much examples to follow. Both don't be honest, so the things both are looking for aren't compatible. Start with a lie needs lies to continue, and they can't find that good foundation, so the deep waters take them away. You have to be honest and fair.
Yeah, honesty is the best policy.
Here is where we are, folks, before we get out of here. The Bahamas needs you. The Bahamas needs your spouse. The Bahamas needs good families, good family structuring. This is what builds a community. This is what builds a nation. When we cannot see eye to eye in one house, how do you expect the politician to see eye to eye with the people? How do you expect the pastors to see eye to eye with the people? How do you expect the teachers to see eye to eye with the people? How do you expect the police to see eye to eye with the people? Because we practice not working with each other, understanding each other, forgiving each other, and attempting to build together. This is what is preventing the country from becoming a stronger entity. This word divorce is something of an emotion, something of an action that says that it takes, like Mr. Sawyer said, too much work to stay together. But if you didn't start working, then you would never continue working, and you can never end working. And so it takes a whole lot of work. It takes a whole lot of understanding. It takes a whole lot of forgiveness. But like Mr. Miller said, when it comes to the relationship, you find that he doesn't love you and you love him. Now do you look in the mirror and say, am I the foolish one? And what happens when you love her with everything that you have? You've given her everything that you could possibly think about, the car, the house, the children, everything that she's asked for, the hair, the nails, the trips to foreign lands, and she comes back and says to you, listen, buddy, I'm done with you. How does that make you feel? Do you feel like an idiot? I just leave you this one experience. When I used to work with the government, I had a group of young ladies in the office, and they were all bragging about their husbands, telling me how wonderful the husband was and all that the husband did. And so I said, you know, let me ask you a question. If your husband allowed you to go out one night and have drinks, and you're sitting by the waterfront, and a yacht pulls up, a nice 65, 80-foot yacht pulls up, and a gentleman comes out of the yacht and says, you know what? All my life I've been looking for a beautiful Bahamian, you know, and I'm going to leave it not being gender biased, male or female. So don't just say I'm picking on the women, please. Right. But this can happen to men or women because it has happened to a man before that I know. And say to them, I will give you $3 million now to leave with me on this yacht. And I'm going to send $1 million home to your spouse and the children to take care of them until we come back. And then we'll make a decision if we're going to stay together. And they'll be well taken care of, by the way, financially. But I need to have you in my life. What would you do? And then the conversations changed. To make it fair to you, when I spoke to those women, I knew a young man that worked at Atlantis, just got married, and his wife was having triplets. And a young girl came from Florida, right Miami area, came to the resort and made an offer to him. I said, buddy, you leaving now or what? Do you know he left his new wife with those 3 babies in the belly? Is this the nation that we are now trying to build?
Can I tell you, can't trust him?
This is Remark. Divorce is real, But the one thing that I know is more real than divorce is what Mr. Leslie Portcake Miller said.
Love.
True love. Once you love equally and you love strongly, we can truly have a lovely nation. See you next week when the ladies will be here and we'll break this thing down once again. Have a good one. Gossman at Roseboro here. Remark, 96.9 FM, Bahamas. Have a good day.
Ever.